Good morning, everybody. Am I on? Can you hear me? Yeah. Okay. So welcome to our Sunday morning service, everyone here and those at home also. So at least it's a nice sunny day. And thank you all for coming. There will be teas, coffees, biscuits and stuff in the lounge afterwards. And I've been asked to remind people that next Sunday morning after teas and coffees is church meeting. Sunday the 9th. Cool. So today we should have been having Compassion Sunday, but she's not here, so I don't know if she'll come. But we're going to start anyway. First song we're going to sing is Been So Good. Like that one, DJ. It's a new one, so we're going to give it our best shot and enjoy. Can stand or sit.
I call you faithful. That is the, for me, that's the new school version of an old hymn, which says, "Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see." I'm going to sing that a few times this morning, just to follow on from that new school version this morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning
by morning,
new mercies I see. Yes. All I have need that thine hands have provided. Great. Great is
thy faithfulness,
Lord, unto me. One more time. Great. Great is thy faithfulness. Great. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. Sounds beautiful, church. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yeah. We're gonna sing the name, the name, the name of the Lord. He's a strong tower. The righteous run in, and they are saved. The name of the Lord. Stand with me, please stand. Say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. Blessed be the name. Most High. Say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Holy is the name of the Lord. Holy.
Holy is the name of the Lord.
Yes.
Holy is the name of the Lord.
Oh, holy
is the name of the Lord.
Most High. Hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy. Oh, holy. God be the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. It's okay to celebrate our great God. Amen. The Bible says we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. That we are to be thankful and to bless his holy name. We are here to give God praise. Because he's been so good to us. As we've been singing, he's been so faithful. Even when we were unfaithful to him, God has always been faithful to us. Amen?
Amen.
You are so, so welcome today. I want to echo the welcome from Terry. If this is your first time or second time or third time, you are so, so welcome back. here at Sittingbourne Baptist Church. It's good to see you on this wonderful day. And this is the day that the Lord has made. And we're here to rejoice and be glad in it. Today we were looking forward to having Lisa Lee from Compassion UK. And unfortunately she could not be here with us this morning. So that's going to alter a little bit the plan of our service. But don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit is still in control. And we're going to receive from the Lord today. Amen. Amen. I want to read just this verse of scripture before we move on. In Luke chapter 4, we can cue on the screen. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. In Luke chapter 4, verse number 14. It reads like this. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. Verse 15, it reads, he was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. This is what that old prophecy had to say. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom, liberty to the prisoners, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Amen. Beautiful words, and the mission statement that would kickstart and launch Jesus Christ's earthly ministry. He said, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is upon me, and he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. And for each and every one of us here today who believe wholeheartedly in the Lord Jesus Christ, we too have been anointed by the Holy Spirit to be earthly proclaimers of the good news. Everywhere we go, that anointing, it lives within us, and we become light bearers in this present generation that points people to a loving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful that we can be partakers and be a part of this wonderful, wonderful ministry and vision? To proclaim freedom to the prisoners and the recovery of sight to the blind, and to set the oppressed free. So that lets us know this morning that whoever you are, wherever you're from, whatever is troubling you today, the good news is that the Lord Jesus wants to set you free. He wants to set you free today. And I believe that before you leave here today, you are going to be greatly encouraged to walk in the freedom and the liberty and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for bringing us here together safely this morning. Lord, we thank you that we are not in chains, that we are not in bondage, because whom the Son has set free is truly free indeed. And now we can come boldly this morning. We can meet together knowing that you desire to meet with us, that if we would draw close to you, you in turn would draw close to us. So Father, we thank you now that you are here with us, desiring to meet with each and every one of us, and desiring to meet our needs according to your riches in glory, and also to encourage and uplift, because there may be many here today that have a broken heart, that may have challenges and issues going on in their lives. But the good news is that the Lord Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, wants to encourage and set free today, to uplift and to inspire, that we can continue to live for you in the good and in the bad. So, Father, would you receive our worship today as we focus on Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. May you be pleased with our worship. We thank you that you are here to bless, and we ask that you would forgive us and cleanse us from all of our sins, that nothing would hinder that fellowship with you this morning. So bless us all today as we worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all.
Thank you, Nathan. Okay, so the next song we're going to sing is O God of Burning Cleansing Flame. So stand, sit, do whatever you like, but we're going to praise God. We're going to sing is Everyone Needs Compassion. Lord, we thank you that you did indeed conquer the grave. You are mighty and you can move the mountains and you can save us. Okay, thank you. You want to sit down? Does anyone have a birthday? Wow. Oh, is it your birthday? Sorry, Josh. Hello, what's your name? And how old are you?
Six.
Six? Is it your birthday today?
2 days.
2 days. She's going to be, you're going to be seven on Tuesday. It's a big girl. Would you like to choose a present? Yeah? You have a look. Sorry. Yeah? That's nice. You show everyone what you've got. Barbie. Shall we sing happy birthday to you?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday for Tuesday. That was lucky. Okay, so the children and people want to go out. So the next song we're going to sing just really reiterates that Bible verse. Is it possible you can put it back up? The end of the Bible verse that Nathan read. JJ. Bless you. Yeah, the next. Yeah, keep going. Yeah, so the next song we're going to sing, everyone knows I like to get this one in every time I lead. So this was very handy that even fitted today. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, and this song just really talks about it being the year of the Lord's favour, and how we're just sent out to proclaim to the poor, to comfort those who mourn. Yeah, and it's just a really good song.
It's the year.
Hallelujah. Father, we believe by faith, not just in the words of that song, but we actually believe that this is the day of the Lord's favor. Lord, we don't just want to sing those words, but we want to internalize those words. Help us not just to be hearers of your word, but also to be doers of your word. And Lord, I've felt all year long in the lead up to this month that, Father, you are willing to do great things amongst us through your Holy Spirit. You are ready to pour it out. But the question for us is, are we ready and willing to receive? And Lord, I can't answer that question for my brother or my sister. I can only answer that question for me. But I pray for each and every one of us today that we would answer that question for ourselves. That we are willing to say, yes, Lord. We're ready to receive. Yes to your will. Yes to your way. We'll trust you and we will obey. So, Father, would you speak to us now? We thank you that you're ready to minister. And Lord, would you overshadow me now as your servant? I'm just a mere man. I have nothing to offer or give. But only through the unction and power and anointing of your Holy Spirit that I may be useful in thy service today. So, Father, would you anoint me afresh? We thank you that your word is already anointed. And we pray that we'll be willing to receive what you want to say to us today and apply it to our lives so that we can serve you and point people to Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please do take your seats in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Thank you so much, Terry and worship team, for leading us today. And I want to call your attention to the book of Acts today. Acts chapter 2, as we kickstart our series this month, Living the Spirit-Filled Life. We're talking about the Holy Spirit all month long. And I want to encourage each and every one of you, if you can, meet us on Wednesdays throughout the month of June. There are two opportunities to meet together, either at 1:30 in the afternoon and also at 7:30 p.m. And you'll see in your handouts that were given out today and also in the monthly magazine, all the details are in there about the midweek sessions. And of course, on Sunday, we're also going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. So I believe that this is going to be a real groundbreaking and a powerful time of ministry this month. Are you ready?
Yes.
Oh, amen. I'm excited. So today, to launch this series, I'm dealing today with the topic of the promise of the Holy Spirit. The promise. The Bible, throughout the canon of Scripture, it details very clearly that the Holy Spirit was planned. It was promised in the Old Testament, and it also was realized and born into fruition in the New Testament. And we're going to look at that promise gift together this morning. So Acts chapter 2, and I want to call your attention today to verse number 12. And this is on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came upon those 120 disciples, around about 120 in the upper room. And it reads like this, and this was the response of the crowd, and I'm reading from the Message today. They're speaking our languages, describing God's mighty works. And their heads were spinning. They couldn't make head or tail of any of it. They talked back and forth, confused. What's going on here? And others joked, they're drunk on cheap wine. Notice the two responses of the crowd. There were some amongst the crowd, verse 12, whom they were just confounded by what was going on when the Holy Spirit came upon them and they were speaking in tongues. as the Spirit gave utterance. They couldn't make head or tail of it. But then there were others in the crowd who mocked them. And they said that these guys, they're just drunk. What are they doing? They're drunk on cheap wine. And then we're going to see what happens, the response. In verse 14, Peter stood up with boldness, backed by the other 11, and spoke out with bold urgency. And he says, "Fellow Jews, all of you who are visiting Jerusalem, listen carefully. Get this story straight. These people aren't drunk, as some of you suspect. They haven't had time to get drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This, however, is what the prophet Joel announced would happen. The prophecy. And this is the details of the promise. Here it is. In the last days, God says, I will pour. Can we say pour? I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people. Your sons will prophesy, also your daughters. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. When the time comes, I will pour out my spirit on those who serve me, men and women, both, and they'll prophesy. I'll set wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billowing smoke, the sun turning black and the moon blood red before the day of the Lord arrives, the day tremendous and marvelous. And whoever, I love this, whoever calls out for help to me, God, they will be saved. In the Authorized Version, it says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Amen. I want to spark your curiosity today on this first sermon in the Holy Spirit series. And I'm asking the facetious question today, is the Holy Spirit reserved for VIPs only? Is the Holy Spirit reserved for VIPs only? I want to start this morning by way of introduction. See, I still got some skills. Eh? I need someone to come up and help me here. Who wants to demonstrate? Come on up. Come on up, John. I want you to stand right there. Okay. Now, throughout the ages, there is a classic game and activity that has been around for many, many years. It's very simplistic in nature. You can play it by yourselves by simply throwing the ball in the air and catching it. It's called catch. But if you are to play it with someone else or a group, so it's going to be just me and Josh today, it's very simple. You need someone to throw the ball, and you need someone who is willing to receive the ball. You ready, Josh?
Yeah.
Hey! Good. Well done. Yeah. Very simple. Someone who is willing to distribute the ball, and someone who is willing to catch, to receive the ball. However, church, this very simple exercise would look a lot different if Josh was not willing and ready to receive the pass. Josh, just for the purposes of this next exercise, what I want you to do is don't make no attempt to catch the ball. Don't worry, I won't hurt you, I promise. Okay? So just let the ball hit you, okay? Do you see the difference, church? The ball has been distributed as normal, but the only difference here is that Josh made no attempt to receive what was distributed. Thank you, Josh. Let's give him a hand. Thank you. You can take it if you want. Yeah, just as long as you give it back to me after. Yeah, that's fine. Very simple exercise. Distributing the ball and then receiving it. And through that very simple exercise, church, from a spiritual point of view, I believe that there are many similarities here when it comes to the promised gift of the Holy Spirit that God promised to each and every one of us through his word. In like manner, God has promised the world a special distribution. It is the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. And this gift has, in real terms, it's always been in operation throughout the course of Scripture. From the very beginning in the book of Genesis, you'll find that the Spirit of God in the creation passages, it hovered over the face of the deep. Also, when it came to the creation of man, when God said, and God said, let us make humanity, man, in our image and in our likeness. That was God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity, in oneness, speaking in the creation passage as he was getting ready to create humanity. But also you will find in Joel's prophecy that we read here in the book of Acts that God, through the prophet Joel, promised that a time would come when I will pour out my spirit on all kinds of people. All flesh, all people. And that promise made many thousands of years ago would bring into fruition a binding covenant with humanity. That God promised humanity that I am going to pour out my spirit. It did not happen immediately in Joel's day, but the promise was made that a time would come when I will pour out my spirit on all kinds of people. And then in the New Testament, we find a fellow by the name of John the Baptist, the cousin of the Lord Jesus. He comes on the scene and he makes it abundantly clear that someone else is coming after me, Christ. He's mightier than I. And when he comes, church, he is not just going to baptize you with water as I am doing, as John was doing, baptizing the people unto repentance. But John let the people know that Jesus Christ is coming, and when he comes, he's not just going to baptize you with water, but he's also going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So Joel first uttered the promise. John the Baptist then reminded the people of the promise. And then Jesus came on the scene. And Jesus says to his disciples in John chapter 14, he says these words, all this I have spoken while I was still with you. But, can we say but? But the advocate, in reference to the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, it's coming, and it will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. So let's just have a little checkpoint here. The Holy Spirit of God was promised through the prophet Joel in the Old Testament. John the Baptist in the New Testament comes on the scene and he reminds the people of that great promise. Then Jesus, throughout his earthly ministry, he taught and prepared his disciples and the many crowds that the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Counselor, will come in my name. The promised gift of the Holy Spirit. And then, on the day of Pentecost, when the time had fully come, 50 days after the Passover, and 10 days after Jesus had made his ascension back to heaven, on that day, that faithful day, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ was born, and the Holy Spirit fell upon the 120 who were gathered together on one accord as they were waiting for the promise gift of the Holy Spirit. And church, what I love about the 120 is that they were willing to trust the words of Jesus, whom implicitly told them to wait in Jerusalem for the promised gift to come. And I want to stop here to encourage each and every one of us today that whenever God makes a promise to us, that promise is a sure guarantee. Whenever God makes a promise in his word, it will come to pass. You don't have to worry or be afraid or be anxious whether or not God will come through on his word, because the promises of God are yea and amen, yes and amen, through Christ Jesus. Whatever he says, it will come to pass. And I don't know who this is for this morning, but could it be that you are in a season of waiting? That you are in a season in your life where you are waiting for the manifestation of the promise. You are in between and betwixt the promise and the realization of the promise. And you are in that waiting period, and sometimes we're in that waiting period, the evil one wants to come in and make us think like, ha ha, look how you're waiting. Nothing's happening. You're in the same situation. Nothing's changing. Ha ha. But I'm here to encourage you that just like the 120, and even going back to the days of Joel when he made that prophecy, could it be that even Joel and those in his day were wondering, when is this promise going to come? When is this gift of the Spirit going to come? When are you going to pour out your Spirit on all kinds of people? Father, we don't see it in our midst. But in God's timing, the day of Pentecost came and God poured out his Spirit. I'm here to encourage you today, friends, that whatever God has promised to you, it will come to pass. I know sometimes in the waiting season, we can become frustrated. I know it can seem in that moment as if, God, where are you? But the Bible is a true record and a firm foundation that lets us know that whatever God has spoken, it will come to pass. Hallelujah. Anna and I were watching a couple weeks ago a comedy award show, and it's called the Mark Twain Award. He was a very popular comedian in his day, and this award is quite prestigious for Americans. It's quite an honor for comedians in that field to win the Mark Twain Award. And one of the recent recipients of this award is a comedian by the name of Kevin Hart. Some of you may be familiar with the comedian Kevin Hart. And one of the things that struck out to me as we were watching is Kevin Hart, and what they do when they receive the award, they have a whole evening where they allow the friends and the family and fellow comedians who are friends and associated with Kevin to come up and to share something about Kevin. And one of the things that stuck out to us as we were watching is there were quite a few who went up and said, "Kevin's a great guy, but there's something about Kevin that you need to know." And one of the things they shared about Kevin was that sometimes Kevin would say to his friends and to his compatriots, sometimes he would say, "Don't worry, I've got your back. I'll sort this out for you." If they had a request or if they needed help, they would go to Kevin, and Kevin would say, "Don't worry, I've got you." But then they would go on to say that sometimes Kevin had a way of not coming through on his promise. That although he uttered the words, "I've got you," sometimes when it came to the actual realization of that statement, it was sometimes left wondering. And could it be that for us, sometimes we are frustrated that some people in our lives have let us down? They've uttered the words, "I've got you. I'll be there for you. I'll come through for you. I will help you." Only to come to realize that they did not fulfill their promise. But we serve a God, church, who will never come short of his promise. And whatever he says to you that is of his spirit, it will come to pass. God does not just say to us, "I've got you." He actually demonstrates that he has you. Amen. So we see the promise gift. That is the situation of the text. But secondly, church, we also see the complication lets us know that there's some tension with this promise. Yes, the Holy Spirit was poured out just as he said he would do. But throughout the generations and even to this day, there is some ambiguity, even amongst the church, concerning the very nature of this promised gift. And it's sometimes common, even for Christians, to find it easier to relate to God as our Father, easier to understand and comprehend God as the Son. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, the function and the work and the role of the Holy Spirit, sometimes we run into difficulty. And could it be that the difficulty that we experience, it stems from the experiences that are described on the day of Pentecost? For example, there was a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind, and cloven tongues, the divided tongues, fell like fire and sat upon each person. And then they all began to speak in different languages as the Holy Spirit enabled them. And they spoke the wonders of God in a plethora of different languages. And sometimes we run into difficulty because we don't know how to compute, well, what do we do with these wonderful experiences that are mentioned throughout the book of Acts? And even as we look back to history, at some of the great revivals throughout this world, sometimes we label the outpourings of the Holy Spirit and we put labels on them. Like the Azusa Street revival in the United States and the Welsh revival in the 20th century. And even through our denominational lines, sometimes we say things like, well, the Holy Spirit is for those charismatics. The Holy Spirit is for the Pentecostals. If you want to understand and have a full appreciation and manifestation of the Spirit, then go to a Pentecostal church. There you will find a full array of the gifts and fruit of the Spirit. But I'm here to encourage you that the Bible does not teach us that the Holy Spirit was just for one or two different denominations. But the Holy Spirit is for everyone. And that is my final point today. The Holy Spirit is for everyone. You see, the 120 were just ordinary men and women. They weren't some special individuals who were climbing the corporate ladders of success. They weren't the rich and famous. They were just ordinary men and women that gathered together to wait for the promise that Jesus instructed them would come. So that lets us know that the Holy Spirit is not just for a reserved few, but this wonderful promise gift is available for everyone. Isn't that wonderful news? It's available for you, Martin. It's available for you, Anna. Lisa, Terry, it's available for us all. But the question is, are we ready and willing to receive what has been promised? You see, when Josh, the second time round, when I threw the ball to him, he was not ready to receive. His hands were down by his side. But the 120, when they were waiting, they were with one accord, they were praying and anticipating that the gift would come. And I believe that the church in this generation needs to replicate that very same posture, that we too are earnestly desiring and waiting for the outpouring of God's Spirit. Not waiting in vain, twiddling our thumbs, but ready to receive, ready to anticipate all that God wants to do in our lives. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is not just reduced to some Christians, but it's available for all. It's not limited to Pentecostals or charismatics. I really don't like those labels, but I know that they're out there and we use them. But the Holy Spirit is for everyone. Yes, even Baptists. I'm going to say it again. Yes, even for Baptists. And we must be careful, church, that we don't even allow our allegiance to a denomination to allow us to miss all that God wants to do in our lives. We are not Baptist first. We belong to the church, not of Baptists, but the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. first Christ, and we happen to be a part of a Baptist family. That's all. And we must never allow Methodist tradition, Baptist, Episcopalian, whatever you want to name, Pentecostal. They have all of these names. But the scripture and the promise is, I want to pour out my spirit, not on one denomination, not on one specific tradition, but on all kinds of people. And the question is, are we willing and ready to receive what has been promised? Hallelujah. So my final challenge to you today, on this first sermon of the series, is that we can be thankful, church, that the promise from Joel, the reminder from John the Baptist, echoed from Jesus, it actually was fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit has been poured out. And just like that day, on the day of Pentecost, even today, the Lord wants to pour out his Spirit on all kinds of people. It continues to fill the hearts of believers worldwide, regardless of background, status, or denomination. The Holy Spirit is available for all. And in closing, I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit is not just for VIPs, because I would not be able to receive it. But I'm so glad that the prophecy was that I will pour out my spirit on all men and women, sons and daughters. No sexism here. But we are all invited to receive the promise of the Father. So what is our excuse? What is the roadblock in the way? Is it our tradition? Is it our denomination? Is it the things that we've been taught when we were children? Is it some of the expressive giftings and utterances of speaking in tongues that causes fear and trepidation? I'm challenging each and every one of us to bring those fears to the Lord in prayer this month. And I believe that this is going to be groundbreaking for the church this month. That as we bring our fears and concerns and those roadblocks that are preventing us from receiving all that God wants to pour out in abundance in our lives. And I believe if we do that, that we are going to see some wonderful things this month. Yes, I believe it. I believe it. And let me say this. It's not, these things are going to come, not for us to go out and look so super spiritual. But the main purpose of God pouring out his Spirit on all kinds of people is simply that there will be a sound in the earth that will point people to the way. That when people hear the sound and people experience the outpouring of the Spirit, but just like the crowds on the day of Pentecost, people will be asking the question, what does this mean? What must I do to be saved? And we will be able to lovingly point people to Christ. Not to ourselves, but to Christ. That whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I believe with all of my heart, as I never ever play around with you when it comes to prophetic utterances, and if I don't know, I don't say nothing. But I know within my heart that you have spoken very clearly concerning this month. And I believe that if we are willing to receive what has been distributed, then we are going to see great things in our day. I believe that we are going to see wonderful signs, wonderful miracles. We are going to see many come to know Christ because of the outpouring of the promised gift. But I pray for us as a church that we would be willing and ready to receive what has been distributed. That we would not allow tradition, that we would not allow even denominational lines and barriers to prevent us from being open to receive what you want to distribute. I pray for each and every one of us here today, sons and daughters, that we will receive the promise of the Father, and we would allow the Holy Spirit to fill our lives, that we would overflow with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would point people to Christ, and that your church will be anointed and gifted with all the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit, ready to do your will in this generation. So Father, we thank you now, and we thank you in advance for all that you are getting ready to do this month. We believe that you're going to do great things. Eyes have not yet seen, ears have not yet heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men and women, the good things that you have prepared for us. So Father, with willing hearts now, I pray that we will be ready to receive from your Spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The worship team are coming back as we prepare to close the service. Hallelujah.
Okay, we're going to close the service with song Waymaker. Thank you, Nathan.
Thank you. never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see that you're working. Even when I don't see that you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working.
As we leave this place today, please do join us if you can for teas and coffees and fellowship in the church lounge. But I really want to encourage us today again, as we leave today, to really think about that. The promised gift of the Holy Spirit. It's been prophesied in the Old Testament by Joel. It was reminded of in the New Testament by John the Baptist and Jesus. And then in Acts chapter 2, that promise came into reality. And the Holy Spirit wants to pour out on all kinds of people. Are we ready and willing to receive what has been poured out?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. As we leave today, I want to close with this song, words of a song from Jonathan McReynolds that's been blessing me recently. And it simply says, may your struggles keep you near the cross. And may your troubles show that you need God. And may your battles end the way they should. And may your bad days prove that God is good. And may your whole life prove that God is good. As we leave this place now, but never from our Lord's presence, until we meet again, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. I love you in the love of the Lord. Bless you.